Welcome back, Nate.
Hey, welcome back, Donovan. I had to check and make sure I was talking to the right side of my microphone. Hey!
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I'm pretty good. I'm actually holding the microphone for the first time ever in my paw. And I kind of like it because now I'm unglued. I can come over here. I can get, like, up. I can come over. I can go into two mics at once and probably cause wicked echo. It's fun. No, we're done with that. Basically, last week, I was in Chicago, and then we were in Omaha talking to Chicago.
And it's still cold. Today, it was negative seven here. Before the wind chill, yeah.
Negative seven here in Omaha today. But basically, we had to do a show today because we were not able to do the holiday design review last time. So we have to do it now, or it's not going
to
make any sense.
Okay, and before we get to the holiday design review.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we've got plenty of things to do.
We've got a few comments on our Facebook page we need to thing. First off, you know, Tristan points out that Nebraska Creative finally pimped us out.
Yeah,
that's been a couple months.
We know the guys over there, the guy over there. It's a great site about creative that gets done in Nebraska, advertising and design work. Just kind of putting it out there. We've been on once or twice.
Steve from Charlotte says, "Great show, guys." I mean, simple.
Rad. Nice. Great to hear. Thank you, Steve. I need to go to our Facebook page more often, I guess.
And then we got the first note from Connor from Ireland.
Ireland.
Nice.
Hey, guys. Ass. Love the show. Been with you since single-digit badcasts.
Really?
However, he's from Ireland, and even though he's not a graphic designer, he's a product designer, which means he asks if he's the most marginal listener we have.
I'll definitely throw it out there. Probably the most marginal listener that we are aware of currently. Right. But a product designer, to me, is even like that's a level cooler because the other product designer that I know is Robert Bruner.
Well, hold on.
Who did Beats by Dre?
He goes, also, guess which episode was my favorite, Badcast or Reflex Blue?
The Robert Bruner one, obviously.
He doesn't answer it, but that's what I'm going to guess.
Or the other more but different.
But you know, the
Robert
thing is I'm
one.
Reading Robert Bruner's book now. What is it? I forget the title of it.
Oh, my God.
Do You Matter? Do You Matter?
It's Do You Matter. It's a great big orange book. Did you know Michael Bayrut did that?
The cover?
He did the cover on the inside. Well, he and people on his staff.
Okay.
There are other people listed. I can't remember their names.
Okay. He said that, but reading that book, I realized that it's not about product design, about package design, about web design. It's the whole thing.
It's the whole chain, baby.
Absolutely. So even though he says he's marginal, I mean, it's all part of a team. If you don't work together, and that's what I'm getting from this book, is that it's not just one thing company-wise. It's everything.
Big thanks again to the people at Rule 29 for the last week's show. Donovan, I've got a little something for you here, and you're lucky because I'm untethered.
Oh, sweet, dude. These hats are awesome. Justin, thanks for these hats.
We got some sweet hats.
Word back to your mother.
Wait, hey, the hats.
Where do people buy these hats?
You go to hathead.com or, visit hathead.com.
Yeah, this one that you're holding right now is so cool.
I'm pretty jealous of.
That's going straight to Steve Gordon because he's the only one cool enough to wear that hat.
I'm definitely not cool. I've actually got this hat in white with green, which is a little more retro. Really? And it's a little more Xbox, which is kind of the way I throw down. But Donovan, this arrived for you from Justin today.
This is
the Three Feast Wine Journal. With the fuzziest cover since Pash's Inspirability, another
very
great
nice.
Book. Basically, you can judge about any book. Its general worth can be based on the amount of fuzziness on the cover.
So I can judge this by the cover.
Yeah.
Very nice.
The fuzziness only, really. So that's for you. That's good times. Thanks again to those guys.
Look at the spirit of giving.
I know. It's like it's Christmas. And holy cow, it's time to do the Reflex Blue holiday design review. Now, what we did, Adam, now you're here for this.
All right.
Because we know that you are an opinionated fellow, also because we need you to review Britney Spears' album in a little bit. Britney Spears, Circus, man.
Oh, I don't have it on vinyl, so thus I'm not reviewing it yet.
You should totally get it on vinyl.
I don't even know if you can.
Oh, you know, well, that's true. You might not be able to. Okay, anyway. So we asked all of our listeners, Donovan, if you could maybe hold off on the book for a moment.
It's too fuzzy not to touch it.
I know you want to touch it, but we've only got so much time.
The book looks great.
We've only got it. Honestly, Three Feasts is a beautiful book.
Is it a wine book or what?
Yeah, it's a wine journal. There's a chef.
Self-published or is it?
It was published. It was written by Terry Marks.
Okay,
it was published as a collaboration between him. Justin at Rule 29. Yeah. I believe the entirety of Rule 29, which is the whole company and not just Justin.
Yeah.
The printing press, they have a chef.
That's really cool. I like the collaboration.
Yeah, because I don't see Justin writing up a braised lentil served with kale recipe by himself.
Dude could do it. I got faith in the man.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on. Now that we've gone through the wine journal, and thank you again for that. I haven't seen mine since I showed my wife. Now we need to do the straight up holiday design review.
Okay.
Okay, so we asked our listeners, send us topics. If you don't send it to us, we're not going to talk about it. And Donovan, earlier today I sent these to you, and I'm hoping you printed them out because I did not.
I've got a few of them.
Did you the list that I gave you?
Yeah, but I printed out some too.
Okay, you have some more.
Yeah, this
well,
is
I didn't
one
that, know that.
Yeah, this one that you sent me. Though.
We
this,
have to do
one,
all of them that are on that list. And I'm
this
not
one comes from Jonathan.
I know you're going to want to take one of them off.
Jonathan says, you mentioned in the show that you wanted some design topics that you wanted to look at next year. He was thinking that it might be interesting to look at the holiday design material that big retail companies put out. Companies usually make their most money in the winter season and usually launch huge campaigns. As you've mentioned, Starbucks always has a holiday identity with the limited time menu items. Also, I think a lot of clever design goes into wrapping paper and gift card. Too bad they're so disposable.
True. Okay, so out of that I gleaned, let's talk about Starbucks first.
Yeah, well, first off, he also mentions that how much stuff goes in. And I know, like, we've talked to people who've worked at Target before and people who've done work for Target. Mm-hmm. And when they do a holiday campaign, isn't it? It's like 2.5 years ahead of time that they started.
Wow.
The holiday design campaign that I'm familiar with was when CSA handled Target's Halloween. This would have been 3 or 4 years ago now.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show with them, I believe.
Yeah, and they started that. I believe they were pitching it 2 years before, and I believe they began work a year and a half before that.
That's pretty
that
neat.
Halloween.
That's got to take a lot of foresight. I mean, just try to figure that out, you know, figure out the trends and what's going to work 2 years from now versus what's going to work, you know, 30 days from now.
Yeah, and I think that Target's Halloween stuff year kind of shows that the difference there. They had the Domo guy, which 2 years ago that probably would have been pretty funny. This year around, it's like, oh, there's that thing again.
So what I did was I went into Target and went and looked at what they had this year, and it seems to be like a lot of red and white gift packages and stuff. But I've noticed this at most of the big box retailers this year, even though they started like 3 years ahead of time. I don't know if we're seeing what was actually designed right, because I see the end cap display and I see the giant gift wrap stuff, but it's only half printed, and the other half says a giant sale 30% off.
Right.
I think somewhere a few months ago, the plans of 2 years ago got changed. They only half implemented them, and then half implemented them with giant sale signs.
Well, interesting. There's some truth to what you're saying.
Well, the other thing I think is that when you go in and you see the items where they're supposed to be meant to see by themselves, but instead you're seeing half sale signs in not just Target, but in a lot of stores now, it kind of changes the whole appearance of these items, you know, because they're not decorated necessarily in the same scheme. They're like giant sale signs.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the reality of retail that's in there with it. I go to Target about every other day because there's one very, very close to where I live. And I'm trying to think of what their holiday design motif is, and I'm not coming up with it. Like that's how little attention I think has gone into it today. And I'm sure, or at least I think it's a valid statement to say that the economy has tightened some purse strings on design. That's a whole other show right there.
Right.
You know, how much is design suffering?
But they had to change
the economy.
But all these retailers had to change their entire campaigns to be based on now, not necessarily what they thought they'd be 2 years ago, but based on, we need to get this stuff off the shelves at lower prices.
Right, right. Adam, do you have a take? No, Adam does not have a take. Adam
That's
freezes.
Solid.
It's what you're saying, though, all makes sense. So, I mean, there's not much I can add to that. It is the problem with retail, I guess you could say, to where things change so quickly. It's hard to keep up with it sometimes.
Right. One thing I can throw out there before we take a quick break here. Starbucks this year, meh. Like every year, I've loved what Starbucks puts out there for the holidays. This year, it's very derivative of what they've been putting out there the last couple years, and I don't feel like it really – it's not knocking my socks off is what I want to say. And years prior, my socks have been knocked away from my feet. and I can tell because it's cold and it's snowy on my feet. And that's why I go to Starbucks, so I can get coffee.
All right. Luke tells us to check out all the awesome Christmas blog for cool gift ideas and other cool Christmassy stuff. Go to batmansmells.com.
Okay. Now, what is batmansmells.com?
It looks like it's a blog that posts a bunch of stuff. Like, here's a link to a Betamaxmas.
Yeah. Yes. I was on that a couple days ago. It's pretty cool. It's just basically it's a website. It's pretty trivial, but it's pretty great. You can go on. It's got a nice old Betamax on there, and you can turn the channels just by clicking, and it kind of brings up some of your old 80s favorite Christmas specials and stuff. I think like Fat Albert was on there. And,
yeah, not even kind of. It really does it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty sweet cool. Graphics, like so, like you're in Creepy Guy's basement.
Yeah, yeah. It does.
More so than BatmanSmells.com, I give Betamaxmas, is that the right name?
Betamaxmas.com?
Donovan, check it
out. Betamaxmas.com.
Yes. I give that two thumbs up.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Okay.
All right, Donovan, let's move it on.
Justin, when you called for emails.
Is our boy Justin Palinch?
Yeah, from Denver. When you called for emails, you said you can post them anywhere, put them on the first post that we had, and we'd find
and he
it.
Did.
Nope, hold on.
He went to the very first post.
No, he went to the one called first. If you actually go into the archives, it's actually the third post on our site. That's
what are you
a big
about?
Failure. Yes.
Wow. No, because that was the first post.
It was your first post, but we'd already written one about the Reflex Blue coming out, and I'd written a post before that. So it's technically the third post on the site. So he failed.
What? Wow. No.
But I'll read it anyway.
Whatever.
Says, hey, guys, glad to see things are still going to continue. Oh, nope, that's wrong.
What are you talking about? What are you reading?
I'm reading the wrong email. Hold on. Figure that I'll be at the end. Okay. Justin says, I figure that I'll be the nerd that drops the holiday design review suggestion in the oldest post. The new Xbox UI, because Nate needs carte blanche to nerd out. Nate does not need carte blanche to nerd out.
I know. I have this show, and I get to do it whenever I want. But Adam also here, which makes this, aside from me nerding out, we can actually have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
So, Donovan, sit back, relax. Think about that Wii that you spent hundreds of dollars on that you never play. Adam and I are going to talk a little new Xbox experience. Adam, what's your take been on that so far?
You know, I've kind of got mixed feelings about it. I do like where it's headed. Unfortunately, I kind of do feel like it's a carbon copy of what the Wii already did. You know, it just feels like they're trying to catch up to that kind of feeling and that kind of look. But it doesn't mean I don't like it. I think it's far better than what they had. I mean, the one that was there before. It was, you know, kind of boring. There was no life, no character to it.
One thing I can say is that the old Xbox user interface design was catered to what Xbox Live was when it began and when content was sparse.
Right.
And what had happened was it exploded into a very big thing, and then the design that they had, it didn't expand well.
Right. Now, this isn't a holiday thing. This is just new.
No.
But it's near the holiday, and they have a holiday theme that was free that I'm rocking the holiday theme on mine
now. Can you put, a Halo hat on your, Santa hat on your Halo guy?
Okay, now let me.
Can you do something like that?
Let's talk about that. They have the Me Toos.
Right, right.
The
it's
Me Vitars.
Your own individual character.
They've got the little avatar guys, which are kind of a separate thing from the actual navigational design.
Correct.
So let's talk about the guys first, then we'll talk about the design.
Can you dress him up as Christmas elves?
You can dress
him
up.
Can you ride a reindeer?
In a pretty horribly limited amount of clothing.
Right
the
now.
The thing that gets me is that, they have shirts. I can't even choose what color shirt I want. Like, it's just, hey, here's a shirt. It's black. You get it.
You know,
you're a designer.
That's what you would want. I think,
not
well,
this
true,
one.
But,
no.
You know,
not
it,
the one. You haven't
I think
seen
it's,
it.
I think it's in its very beginning stages. I think they'll probably improve upon that. I'm curious to see if they're going to have, a marketplace where you can get different, you know, clothing, different outfits for your character.
I can already tell you that's going to become a reality.
Yeah.
But I was listening to the Giant Bombcast the other day, and and they were throwing out ideas why not, if I max out a gamer score in Call of Duty 4 or 5 now, why can't I get a set of camos?
You know, that would be
or,
a great
a set of fatigues.
To me, I think that's
a great way to promote the online community.
I mean, the Xbox 360 has such a huge and diverse community online.
Yeah,
that would be a fantastic way to promote the online community and just, you know, promote status and make people to want to continue in playing their games to get to different levels.
Right. No, it would make you want to keep going. It would be another reward. Like, I can't hardly bring myself to play games that don't have achievements on them anymore, because it's like a second game.
Well, that's what's made the Xbox 360 really stand out, at least in my opinion, is the fact that you do have all these achievements. They have a much larger online community than like the PlayStation 3, and such, at least from what I've seen. And
it's ten times better implemented. Yeah. Have you seen Home?
No.
Home is the new Xbox experience for PlayStation, but instead of that, what it is like if you wanted to navigate menus using Second
Life.
Okay,
how much more nerd
time?
No,
we're not done. We're not done. You chill out. We're talking about
your
Home
nerd
now.
Time's got a two minute time frame.
I don't know. Okay, I think this is valid.
Not even close to done, Donovan. Hey, have you seen Home? Let me tell you what this is.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, now imagine you were gonna play your Wii, only the game sucked, but they were really pretty because it's on PlayStation 3.
Okay.
And instead of going, I want to play a game now, or I want to go see what my other friend on his Wii is doing now, you log on to Second Life, walk a couple blocks to somebody's house, knock on their door, see if they're home, and then ask them what they're doing.
Okay.
That's what Home is on PlayStation 3. Apparently, it's completely terrible. Nothing to do.
And walk around and knock around on doors.
It was as a design problem. I'm sure this is something that people are now starting to skip over, but as a design problem, this was designed by the marketing department. It's all about bringing advertisements into games, and it's the functionality and usability of it is apparently completely terrible.
My biggest gripe over this is I like it, but you know, I wish they would maybe invest more time into fixing the Red Ring of Death.
Oh God, dude!
Versus a new user.
The fact that
Xbox people know what it is. because I got Red Ring this year for the first time.
You know, it seems like that's Microsoft's problem in general, is they try to put this fancy wrapper on everything. I mean, look at Windows.
No,
Vista.
I think that stuff breaks so often that you all have nicknames. Like everyone knows what the blue screen of death is on a Windows machine.
Well,
it's a Red Ring of Death,
right?
It's based,
but
off
it
of
seems
that.
Like they always have these issues with everything they put out.
But
Internet
the fact
Explorer
that
right now,
I don't know what
everybody's saying. Switch over to Firefox, because there's security issues with Internet Explorer. You know, you look at things like Windows Vista. So their operating system's crap. So instead of fixing it, they put a wrapper and call it Mojave. It seems to be the trend that Microsoft
Adam,
in general does.
This is something I legitimately want to know about, and maybe you do know. What is the Mojave thing?
The Mojave thing is exactly what the Burger King thing was a couple years ago, where, you know, they did the famous swap out. Let's trick our users and then spring it on them and surprise them and say, oh, gotcha. It's the same thing that Pizza Hut did too, where they're like, oh, we're in this fancy restaurant. By the way, you're eating Pizza Hut. Ha ha.
Okay. So it really is just the advertising campaign where they're like, check out Windows Mojave.
So basically
what
they're saying to the general public, or at least me, is our product was shit. So we're trying to make you think it's something else in order to get you to use it, because we've done such a lousy job with it.
Let me throw it out there. We're going to fake you out to show you all the features that you couldn't even find. Like, you didn't even know about these features because you couldn't find them in our shitty OS.
The funniest thing I think I ever happened with this whole thing is we went to Nebraska Furniture Mart, and I was looking at Macs, and
which is a very, very, very large store in Nebraska and also Kansas.
Right. And I've got some Mac stuff
there.
Some people might not know. And I went in there to look at a couple new things for my computer, and this guy was trying to sell me on a PC, and he actually pulled out the line, yeah, they're getting a new operating system. It's Windows Mojave. And I literally just wanted to slap him. Like, he did not even know, and he was a sales guy.
God.
Well, that doesn't
shock me. I don't know how many listeners of our store have actually listeners to our show have actually been to that store, but that doesn't shock me. I actually used to know a guy that worked in the Mac department down there, and it was kind of scary.
Okay. Back to the holidays.
Okay. Sorry.
Should we go back to the holidays now?
Yeah, and I've got one personally, and I'm going to give this one a big fat F. So I designed my own holiday cards because I realized
you're
as a designer.
You're giving yourself an F?
Ooh.
I should.
Dude.
No. Well, I got to build up to this.
Okay.
So I designed my own holiday cards because I realized, you know, about 5 years ago that I'm like, why am I buying cards? I should be doing these myself.
Right.
You know, it's what I do. And we did postcards this year.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah,
so
cheaper postage, sure.
Went to the post office and I said, hey, I need some holiday postage stamps for, you know, whatever, for a postcard. So we don't have any.
Really?
So I could either spend more and get the regular holiday stamps, which is a big waste.
Right. Right.
Or I was like, fine, I'll just take postcard stamps. And this is what the U.S. Postal Service sold me for the holidays.
Oh, you're going to show us.
They are summer fruits.
What the hell?
Is that an avocado?
No,
hand them to me.
It's like a kiwi, a star fruit, and they got like a gradient rainbow background.
Is it pomegranate?
The one of them looks like a vagina. I'm sending my mom a postcard with a vagina stamp on it.
I would honestly throw that.
Not even trying to be gross. It really does.
I would throw that at least two of these look like vaginas.
How does the post office run out of holiday
they
stamps.
Didn't I don't think they made any because I went to two places. I went to the Hy-Vee post office, which is the grocery
raise
I went
postage,
to the I went to the post office station
stamps.
In the hall in the grocery store here at the Hy-Vee.
Yeah, I could
and
see
I asked
them
there,
running out.
And so well I said, do you have holiday postcard stamps? And they said no. And so I was like, oh, I'll just go to the regular post office. They didn't because I just figured they just didn't get them.
Wow.
I think that there's
I just don't
a
think
big
they make
misconception
they
that
fruit. Can I see this?
Yeah, I think there's a big misconception that the United States Postal Service really knows what they're doing as a business.
I've seen
enough proof to say that that is not the case.
I'm looking at these and it seriously looks pretty wow.
Freudian.
Yeah,
yes.
So the word I was trying to spit out.
Vagina-ian.
Yeah, it's wow.
Okay, so the USPS gets
those out.
although they certainly have been shipping my packages.
I don't know if I'll ever look at a papaya the same.
That's
way.
What she said. Oh, I don't think you can do that's what she said to your own comments.
No, I don't think so.
I think at that point you become Michael Scott. Yeah. So let's move on. I know we've got another one.
Yeah, this is the final one. This comes
from
Brandon.
This
comes from Brandon. And he says, "Hey guys, it's Brandon." He also wrote in
we
on
know
the
Brandon.
Chip Kid episode.
Yep.
He has a holiday design review topic. He'd like to note that the Macy's ad for the holiday this year, and you can YouTube Macy's 150th ad on YouTube.
Right.
It should fall right
up. They're reaching back 150 years, and they show many different clips where they were mentioned in television culture. Seeing the span of time compressed about 1 minute is almost overwhelming. It not only evokes emotion with these classic clips, but shows a sense of brand stability at uncertain times. He thinks that Macy's with the holiday season on lockdown. They practically open the season with the Thanksgiving Day parade and then provide all the Christmas magic through their in-store experiences, Santa decorations, shopping, etc. We don't have a Macy's here, so I'm going to take his word on that.
I was just at a Macy's in Chicago. I went in it, I got to say, as a store. It's a store.
I haven't been in one during the holidays.
It's
Minneapolis has a pretty nice one.
It's a store.
Yeah,
that's all I can throw to Macy's. I mean,
okay, and then he says, in addition, is it just him, or does it seem like Macy's really rebranded sometime last year around the star idea? Like, you know, all these celebrities, I assume they started showing commercials famous stars
are the logo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, where famous star. Well, he says they started showing commercials where famous stars are working their brands to make a Macy's star place to shop.
Right.
Oh, gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
Despite seeming a little hokey on stage, is actually pretty clever. He thinks some of the jokes are funny. And it makes Macy's seem like high end. Big brand retail at affordable price, and you can't argue with the Macy's logo. Avant-garde, extra light for the text, and a simple big red star.
Yeah.
Hard to forget, easy to read, but what's with all the lowercasing? But the lowercasing, they're just following Sears' lead.
Right.
You know what
they're
I was thinking?
They're Searsing up their brand.
Let me
That's
talk
what
about
I call it now.
The lowercasing of brands, which, again, I want to state my official position is I am against this, but I was thinking about it today. On the way, I was thinking about that specific question. I thought, well, okay. With the lowercasing, what do you get? You get a consistent, what would essentially be a cap height, even though it's the X height. You get a consistent baseline. You get a little bit of variation if you got, you know, like an L or an F in there. You get some ascenders. But mainly what you get is a really easy to read, but very functional nugget of type.
Right.
You know, you don't have to deal with the differing heights of capital and lowercase. And if you go all caps, well, those letters are not really – those letter forms, I should say, are not really meant to be read as a group, but lowercase is.
I think Walmart, when they went to lowercase, they said it was more informal or something. So it was like –
Right.
You know,
people throw the informality or the buddy-buddy lowercasing out there. But at this point, I'm starting to come around back to it because I'm thinking, well, even though it loses the proper, like, noun, title, name of having a capital first letter – it does make an easy to read, sort of little nugget of text there.
You know,
with letter forms that are
clearly like differentiated from
one another. I don't hate it. And I listened to your last podcast and I actually kind of revisited it myself. And you know, I don't dislike it. I think the thing that gets me the most is where people put it in lowercase and then it ends there. There's no customization of it. You know, it's just like,
all right, let me type this out in lowercase.
And
right.
It's something new and fresh. That to me, I think is the most disturbing trend. I think lowercase, you know, typing out all in lowercase is not the issue here. I think it's just the fact that it feels like they've just stopped instead of taking it a little bit farther and making it its own.
Right. Well, and I think typography in logos, this again is a much larger conversation.
Right, yeah, we're kind of getting off from Macy's, but
you know, at a certain point there are the designers who type it out and then there are the designers who take it further.
Right.
And I feel like there are a lot fewer designers who take it further by virtue of, you know, creative exploration or by virtue of, you know, time budget. And budget and just not like, hey, yeah. Yo, I gotta type this out.
Yeah.
And having come off of, you know, the logos that I've done over the last 12 months have almost all had only custom typography in them, with the exception of, you know, one or two that I did for the site. I've had my eyes open to doing more custom,
right?
You know, pushing it further typography. The 36 point logo was based off of, I think, Avant-Garde, but you know, most of the letter forms that are in the word point are custom that I had to build myself. Just to get something unique that right. would be a little bit better than just typing it out. So, I think that's something that would be good for most people to chase down.
Not to jump around here, but back to
let's
Macy's.
Do it. Yeah, let's go back to Macy's.
I personally love the ad. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
Well, I think, I mean, it's like they built the ad based on what they did years ago and they stuck through it rather than all of a sudden, you know, just cutting the ad to half length and then the other right. half being like, oh, and by the way, we're going to have 30% off.
Right.
Come
well,
on
I,
down.
I think, you know, like what you guys said about having a, you know, brand consistency that you can see goes back 150 years in some form.
We've been doing product placement longer than you've been alive.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't even believe how long we've been paying for this.
Yeah.
if you look at it from that point of view, it's very cynical. But if you just look at it from the point of view of remembering your old favorite TV shows, hey, look, you know, Macy's is a big deal. It's constantly mentioned. And certainly for me, I always watch the parades. It's a big deal for me when I miss the parade. I'm always kind of pissed. The thing like, that, oh, it's already over. I missed Al Roker doing his shtick.
The thing that stuck out the most to me is it's such a broad range of a demographics that they're reaching. I mean, if you think right. about it, because they're showing Johnny Carson in the same video as they're showing
Ed McMahon.
Well, yeah.
Completely different demographic.
What are you talking about?
Oh.
But Snoopy. You know, but they have Johnny Carson in the same clip as Kanye West.
Yeah.
You're hitting multiple demographics at the same time and you're also appealing to the iconic nature of them and you're just kind of pulling the person in. And I don't know, I love that aspect of it just because it's very nostalgic, but it's very fresh and new.
Right.
All right. Well, hey, that's going to sum it up.
I think that's about our holiday show. I don't have a whole lot else to talk about other than reminiscing holiday shows past. I remember our first holiday show, Donovan, chilling with Tom at the old 1119 recording studio with a couple beers, talking about Taco Bell. Holy, why don't we have Taco Bell here right
hey,
now?
That was the first time I saw you in, what, a couple years? Is that it? Wait, no, it was a Taco John's.
We saw you at a Taco Drew. John's on a separate occasion.
That's
yes,
right. That's right. Yeah, and yeah. you were there, too.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.
And you.
And you.
And you.
And you. But I think that's going to be our holiday show. Now, definitely this time it's going to be 2 weeks before you hear us again.
And it'll be a whole new year.
Are you guys going to take them out with, like, some jingle bells or some?
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Send questions or comments to The Reflex Blue Show, please visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show is hosted by Nate Voss and Donovan Beery, music produced by Dust Lab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.